afternoon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. It is time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin of WEEI, joining us here in studio on Jones and Keith. What's up, Terp?
What's up, guys?
Hello, hello.
Celtics are up in the standings.
Look at these guys.
Number two seed in the Eastern Conference at 23-12. Terp, they have the best scoring differential in the East. They've won four straight. They've won eight of their last 10. They have, is it the Nuggets tonight? No Jokic? It's Nuggets,
no Jokic,
right?
Yeah. Nuggets, no Jokic.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it really is, because that could have been like a fun measuring stick game tonight. But obviously, they're playing well. What do you attribute the turnaround, if you will, to?
I mean, I'd look at just everyone collectively finding their stride. And this for this team and the roster that they have right now, I feel like there's kind of – it's tough to get everyone to buy in on being unselfish and really buying into just the wins. Because looking up and down the roster, everyone has something to prove, right? Jaylen Brown wants to prove he can be a number one, can lead a team. Josh Minot, Jordan Walsh, those guys, Luka Garza, Namias Keita, they're playing for what's next in their NBA lives. Like, they're playing for their careers. And no one's getting selfish. No one's playing in ways that they shouldn't. Everyone's just playing within the offense, playing within the system, and it's resulting in this. So the unselfishness of this team has really, really jumped out to me.
All right, what's the ceiling now?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the Eastern Conference is bad, man. It's, like, really bad. There's no reason this team should be the two seed in the East. I mean, we were talking top six at the beginning of the year, but I don't think anyone expected them to be second in the East. Maybe Jaylen Brown, Joe Mazzulla, and Derek White.
Those three guys. We can do it.
And Peyton Pritchard. Those are the only ones. Yeah. Like, nobody expected them to be here, but it's kind of similar. Just how it's crazy how similar the AFC when you're talking about the Patriots and like how wide open it is. It's kind of the same conversation with the Celtics and how open it is in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, I don't see why not. Like, I don't see why they couldn't represent the East, because there's just no team that you look at. It's like, this is the clear cut number one team in the East.
So it's Pistons, Celtics, and Knicks at the top. Outside of that group, and really, you know, Detroit and New York for the Celtics, is there another team where, like, they're a sleeping giant, or you're kind of waiting for them in the Eastern Conference to figure things out, and maybe they're hidden in the standings a little bit?
I mean, Cleveland was the one that we were holding on to, but they might not be good.
A lot of people liked Orlando coming into the year. A lot of people like Atlanta coming into the year. Now they're blowing things up and getting rid of Trae Young,
Long
which will probably help, but you think it's obviously Cleveland. Okay.
I think it would have to be Cleveland. I mean, Philadelphia, but you just never know with them. They're kind of a mess. Joel Embiid really can't stay on the floor. When he's on the floor, they're good. But probably Cleveland would be the answer. But they just – you keep waiting for them to figure it out. Like, we're into January now, and they're still just a mess.
As a brief aside, you mentioned Trae Young. Where do you think he goes, and does it even matter? Like, good player, fun player to watch. It scores a lot of points. Obviously not great on defense, and you can kind of take advantage of that. Good teams have always taken advantage of that. But do you think he plays a factor at all in changing the landscape of, let's say he stays in the Eastern Conference? Does it matter?
I like the team that Mark Stein first reported, the Wizards. It makes so much sense. Let him go there, score 50 points a game, and you get to lose every game.
Sell
but he's
tickets.
Scoring 50 points a game. Doesn't have to play any defense. Helps him get a pick. It's also still young-ish, where he can kind of develop it with Alex Saar and a core there. I think it would make a lot of sense for him to go there, especially in the short term. Like, just let him go out. All he wants to do is play offense and score points. You don't have to play a lick of defense there. They're trying to lose, so go for it. That makes a ton of sense.
Let's say the Celtics want to trade for him. Okay, what would you give up for him?
I mean, I wouldn't trade for him. I wouldn't want him
anywhere. You wouldn't give up a second-round pick for Trae Young? What would you give up is what I'm saying.
I mean, it's going to probably be a couple first, I would imagine. Just look at the landscape of the NBA trades. Like, Mikal Bridges went for, what, 5 picks 2 years ago? That's just the way the NBA works. Yeah. So I would imagine there are first-round picks involved in that, but it's just tough because they didn't extend him. So he's going to be due for the contract, and you're going to have to do that. Like, it's an extreme example, but the Mavericks traded out Luka Doncic because they didn't think he could play defense. They didn't want to make him one of those highest-paid players. Is a team going to be willing to do it with Trae Young? I mean, no one will argue that he's not one of the best offensive and gifted scorers in the league, but you got to play defense. You got to be a two-way player.
Here's the only reason I ask that, because if he's really going to go for, like, nothing, he's better than Simons. So, I mean, I don't know that he'd buy into, like, a Simons role. I don't know how much Simons buys into the Simons role these days. But, like, you know, I mean, if he's really going to go for nothing and you can get him on the cheap, like, maybe that's something they should be kicking the tires on. I mean, I hope they're looking to add instead of subtract, which is still my fear, that they're going to subtract that Simons contract off the books, and that's their plan on a team that is clearly worth investing in. That'd be wildly disappointing, but I'm bracing for it.
And something we've been talking about this since Anthony Simons got here is that that luxury tax number, $40 million if they do keep the roster as to what it is. I think everyone looking at this team, you're second place in the Eastern Conference. This team is totally worth paying the tax. Like, they have a chance. We were just saying, like, what is their ceiling? Like, yeah. You really can't put a ceiling on this team. So this is absolutely a team that you should be willing to pay the luxury tax for. And with Anthony Simons, too, like, he looks like a guy that can contribute. If he wants to continue to
adjust
to this role, and he's been much better. I mean, he's quietly put together a really good season off the bench. He's third in points, first in threes, first in net rating among guys with 30 games. I wrote about this the other night. It's like kind of under the radar what he's been doing, and it's been really elevated since really like December 1st, where he's been getting more 20 minutes a game, like playing a little bit more because the defense is really coming around. And I think the sequence the other night, where he hits his eighth three of the night, comes back, and then helps Derek White steal the ball. Like, that was the Anthony Simons that the Celtics were looking for. And the more and more he resembles that, it's more like, all right, I'd like to see this guy with Jason Tatum. And looking ahead to next year, obviously he's an unrestricted free agent. If you can get him at the mid-level, right around $14 million, I would totally take him back.
Yeah, because what's the market going to be for Simons?
I think it was pretty telling over the summer.
Yeah.
You think he'll take
mid-level, though?
I think it's going to be that much.
Well, the mid-level is like a lot higher now.
Yeah,
right,
it is. It'd be around $14 million. But like,
well, what's he making now?
Around 25, 26. Right, it's going to be a significant cut.
No, like, but I mean, a choice. But that's he's going to be making like almost half of what he was making.
But
do you think teams are going to start to be a little smarter with who they give money to? Because I think in the NBA, where teams have really run into issues is, you have your rookie year deal guys, you have like your veteran minimum guys, then you have your superstars. If you overpay the middle guys, that's when you really run into trouble. So I wonder.
Yeah, but then there's also crappy teams that like have no, like if the Wizards don't get Trae Young, for instance, could they just be like, we're going to give this guy $20 million a year and he's just going to be
like
the guy who scores points?
Yeah.
There's a lot of dumb teams.
I think the market spoke for itself over the summer, where the reporting was they were trying to trade him for most of the summer. And there were no bites, and he's on an expiring deal. That's something, as a shooter and a scorer, like the way he is, like he's one of the most gifted scorers in the league, and there was no interest. So I think that really speaks to just the market of where he is, and I don't think it's crazy to think they can get him back at the mid-level next year. Now, that complicates things for what you want to do when acquiring a center and all that, but I think there are other avenues.
Yeah, so what would be the ways to get a big man on this team without getting rid of Simons? Because that seems like the obvious, hey, that's a good amount of money and maybe and some value to a team that would take him for the rest of the year. But how could you get somebody that can play like along with Kata without giving up Simons?
I think then you'd look at Sam Hauser. I was really against trading Sam Hauser in the summer. I thought that was a guy that they should hang on to. Just looking at the two-man lineup, the lineups with Hauser and Tatum are one of their most efficient.
He plays great with Tatum.
It's so hard to find a shooter with, you know, shoots consistently 40% from three. Like, that is such an
asset. Because as soon as you lose Hauser, you'd be like, they need a guy like Hauser.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the problem.
Especially when, like, they prioritize spacing the floor. Like, he is an elite floor spacer. He plays well with those guys. But with the developments of Jordan Walsh and Hugo Gonzalez and Baylor Shireman in a smaller role there, I feel like he's a little bit more expandable now, where you're a little bit more open to trading Sam Hauser.
Those are different skill sets, but it's a similar role.
Right, yeah. Right. Just you have a bunch of wings right now, and I think if you are going to cut bait with any of them, and the one problem is, though, if the risk that you run is obviously you don't have any control over Simons this offseason. He's an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, if you're going to trade Hauser and then he ends up walking away, I think that's a little bit risky, but I don't know. I mean, there are different avenues. The buyout market will be one as well, but I would expect them to make a move for a big at the deadline.
Okay, you just answered what I was going to ask. So are they going to invest, and where are they going to invest? You think, because like buyout scrap heap, I don't count. That's not investing. That's bringing in a body.
They
but that's
Torrey
not
Craig last year.
Yeah, that's not investing.
They had that run, remember? So like they hit so well with P.J. Brown, Sam Cassell, the year they won the title in 2008. And then after that, they had a string of like Troy Murphy's.
Thank you.
Remember
I was about
all these
to say
guys?
Austin Crozier. I knew it wasn't
no,
Austin Crozier.
No, no, no.
Troy
like
Murphy.
Troy Murphy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, well, Nenad Krstić was a trade, but it was like all guys like that that they kept bringing them one after the other,
They might add a guy and he might be helpful. I'm just saying that's
Luke Herangode.
That's not investing. You know what I mean? You think they're going to invest at the trade deadline?
I do. I don't think the luxury tax will be an issue, and I don't think the first apron
will
be
an issue.
Why
do you think that, though? Because it's been an issue since the second the new ownership group got here.
Well, I think the second apron and the luxury tax conversations are different, though. Like, that was going to happen. The second apron was going to happen. Then that was talked about. Wick Rosbeck talked about it on these airwaves.
Tim Bontemps wrote yesterday, like, the main thing they got to do is get below the luxury tax.
Yeah, I think this team, I think going into the year, you could totally look at it and be like, okay, you know, if they're faltering out a little bit, say, you know, they were towards the bottom of the play-in, then it's like, all right, maybe you start to reset the repeater tax and you want to get out. But with the way they're playing right now, again, there's no ceiling. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I really don't.
They might invest, Keith, but I bet Chisholm hates every minute of this.
Yeah, like, I bet we're getting a little. I'll tell you,
it was freezing in there. I don't think the heat was on. And I think that's a tell that they're getting ready. They're getting ready to do it.
Yeah. Like I bet the new owner just hates this. He's like, wait a minute. I thought we were going to be like the 9 seed, and then I could get rid of Anfernee Simons' contract, and no one would care, and no one would be paying attention. And now it's like, oh wait, we're the 2. Yeah. I kind of have to invest. Crap, I got to spend more money.
Wow.
Like, I think that's kind of the stance, to be honest.
So I agree with you what you were saying before about how wide open the Eastern Conference is, and you look at the Pistons and the Knicks, and even if you want to say they're better, they're not light years better by any stretch. Is there a guy, and Trae Young's not it, but is there somebody that could be traded to one of those two teams or traded to Cleveland or something that where like that would tip the scales?
See, the thing is with the big trades, and it feels so like
Giannis.
I'm wondering,
how likely would it be if New York puts a package together and gets Giannis, and then you're like, all right, they're going for it, and then they would be the team to beat. But like, how likely are any of those?
It's tough now with the aprons, and it's weird to say this after Luka Doncic gets traded last year, but a lot of these big trades now happen in the offseason because there's so many moving parts with all the aprons and stuff. It's tough to get those done during the season.
That one got a GM fired a month later, so that was not a good move.
You're going to kind of fall back on that, but like that was one of the worst trades in the history of sports. Like that was brutal. Yeah.
But that to me is like the key to the Celtics, because I'm with everybody else. It's like, hey, it is open. They have a chance. They also are likely going to be getting Jason Tatum back. But then things change if it's like, oh, Giannis just got dealt. You're like, oh.
Yeah, the Giannis one in particular, I would expect that to happen over the offseason. I don't think that's something that happens in the middle of the season. I don't really see, besides Trae Young, any big names going.
Like all-star type guys.
Yeah, not this year, not at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Again, just because of all the moving parts with all the aprons. But, I mean, there are certainly moves you can make around the edges that give you a better chance, but like there's no player they're going to add at the deadlines that's better than Jason Tatum, and I think that's the number one thing to remember.
Well, and if there's no big landscape shifting move, then the Celtics should be in it no matter what, right? If Giannis moves to the Knicks, that shifts the landscape, but if there's no move like that, Trae Young's the biggest name to move.
What about Jones's guy Nurkic? Could they get Nurkic?
Nurkic would be a lot of fun. I think
Dude, the one
that people keep going back is Zubac with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that people go back to, and I think that one would make a lot of sense. But the thing is, they're starting to play a little bit better, and there's no incentive for them to tank or anything because they don't have any picks.
Right. So, no, they got to max out what they can get.
Where are they? Oh, yeah, they're 13 and 22.
Well, they started.
It doesn't look good, but they had six wins like 2 weeks ago.
I was going to say, they started like 6-21 or something.
Can you dig out of that? They're still 9 games below 500.
Yeah, but you can get into the play-in.
Top 10.
Just get into the playoff.
From the 10 seed, there's still 3.5 games.
Yeah, looking at the raw numbers, they're not a good basketball team. But if you look at what they've done recently, even before they played the Celtics, like they were the hottest team in basketball leading up to those 2 weeks. So
I'm sorry, they're two. I was looking at the Jazz. They're 2.5 games. I take that back.
Oh, they got a chance.
So maybe because they're playing better, I wonder if they're more inclined to hold on to their guys.
Nurkic is the guy.
I'm sorry, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's crazy to say that they're playing better when they're sitting here well under 500, but they have been.
They were so bad.
So I would wonder if they are more inclined to keep their guys.
We were, and the Clippers are a good jumping off point for this, because Keith and I were going through Jaylen Brown's comments about being the best two-way player in the league, and we kind of hone in on, like, it's Jaylen or Kawhi, and oh, by the way, Jaylen just dropped 50 on him and held him in check when they played. Is Jaylen Brown, does he have a real case to be the best two-way player in the league?
Yeah, I mean, right now, absolutely. I mean, what he's doing this year is just incredible. And I think the 50-point game really kind of spoke to the way he's playing, because usually when guys have 50 points, they're shooting like 8 of 13 from 3 or whatever. It wasn't that. It was just the way that he typically plays the game. So I thought that 50-point game was very just it told the story of his whole year, just playing within the game, just making the right basketball plays. And, I mean, just every night he's given them a chance. And you can't say enough good things about the seasons that he's having on both ends of the ball. Obviously, he's passed a little bit of the defensive responsibilities off to guys like Jordan Walsh and Hugo Gonzalez, where he's not picking up the best guy on the floor every night. But it'd be kind of unfair to expect him to do that when he's going out and averaging 30 on the other end. So it's just been a monster year from him, and it's been pretty special to watch.
The NBA fan voting is in the books. Jaylen Brown finished 6th in the Eastern Conference. So he's not the most popular player, but it's also not bad. It's not like he got buried in there by any means.
You think Celtics fans are letting him down with the vote at all there?
A little bit. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like
the season he's having,
higher,
like, he's clearly a lot higher than that. But couple of guys. What was it? Mitchell and Cade Cunningham.
Yeah,
and
guys like that. I mean, Brunson, guys like Mitchell specifically, he should be ahead
of. I mean,
a
guy
yeah.
you're talking about being a potential MVP candidate, I feel like should yeah. be higher.
Probably be starting
also,
the All-Star
game. I feel like.
Yeah, where are the Celtics fans with the vote? Where are your people, Turk?
The Patriots are trying to rile him up the other day. Did you see that? They quote tweeted and they're like, go out and help Jalen.
Well, the
Patriots
Celtics
doing their job.
They didn't have anybody else in the top 20. So it's not like one
they
of
should.
Those.
Oh, like they're splitting the vote? Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm not even saying like they have. Another top 20 player, but it's like you think of the Celtics as like one of the best fan bases
yeah.
and all that.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like you'll
yeah,
see
yeah.
teams like, you know, like
Derek White was one that I would expect to like get
yeah,
a
maybe,
vote. Just
maybe
like
be in there.
Wide.
He's on Team USA for God's sakes.
Right.
You think maybe he'd get a sniff. But
his best way, I don't know if he'll ever make an All-Star game. I'd like just with
yeah, they
the
only have one All-Star.
There. They only have
on
one
this
All-Star.
Team.
I know we picked them before the season. You know what? If he yeah. hadn't started off the first like
That's
month
true.
And a half of the season,
yeah.
he would have had a legit case. Like if you narrow down what he's done after the first month and a half, he's been very good. But I think his best avenue to making an All-Star game would be through the coach's vote right there. Because any coach that comes here just talks so highly of Derek White. They're all like, mm-hmm. he's a winner. He's a player that everyone wants on their team. That would be his best avenue to making an All-Star game.
What do you think of Jalen? You know, I'm the best two-way player, shaking my head when he's not the Eastern Conference Player of the Week or Month or whatever that was. Just some of his injecting himself into that, like hyping himself up effectively. Keith and I were disagreeing on this yesterday. Keith, your stance is if he doesn't
kinda
do it,
have to.
No one's going to do it on
yeah.
his behalf.
Yeah.
My stance is like, don't be that thirsty. You don't need to be that thirsty. So where do you stand on that?
I just think he's walking the talk. Like he should have won it. It's crazy to me that
he's not wrong.
Just, right.
Does he need to be?
He's always
talking about it to prop himself up.
I mean, if you're playing the level he is, and he's always kind of been like this. I think it's more this year, and it's getting more attention this year because obviously of what he's doing. He's on the Twitch streams and all that. It's getting more attention. But he's always kind of been very confident in himself. He's always given himself his credit, and you know he's walking the talk. Like he's going out and he's doing this. He probably should have won again. One of the biggest glaring, you know, omissions and when they were talking about the Eastern Conference Player of the Month debate, like when they played head to head, Jalen had 42, Jalen Brunson had 15. Like, you know, that should count for something. And I understand that they won the NBA Cup and he won the NBA Cup MVP, but like those games don't even count towards like stats like in the regular season. So I think he should have won it. I don't have a problem with how vocal he's been. He's always been like this, and you know, he's earned the right to go out and say it.
You think there's any issues when Tatum comes back?
No, not at all. I've actually, I think we've talked about this. I think this is one of the best things for him because now he's seeing the game in a different light. He's seeing what
so,
it's...
So that to me would be like the best case is he's like, I've now proven what I am mm-hmm. without Tatum and he's just satisfied with that. My fear is he doesn't seem satisfied with a lot. I don't know why he'd be satisfied
yeah.
with sacrificing that spotlight.
I thought it was pretty telling when he's like, this is my favorite season.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I also think it goes back to what we were just saying,
yeah.
though. Like, he's always viewed himself like this.
Yes.
Like, this, for him, is not a surprise. Maybe to other people, they're like, oh, like, Jaylen Brown can really do that. Like, he's really like that. But for him, he's always viewed himself like this. So the whole notion that when
but
he comes back, they won't
be
able to coexist, I don't buy his
I'm sure they'll be able to coexist, but I just wonder for him, will it be difficult to kind of give up anything? You know, like
yeah,
he's just,
difficult for Pippen with Jordan, and Jordan's way better than
yeah,
Tatum.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, it goes back to that sacrifice thing. He's
yeah.
also honed on that for a while. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I've been having a sacrifice since I've been here. Like, it's nothing new. They've been teammates
yeah.
for almost a decade now.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
They've
well,
figured
but,
it out. And
but
I know,
this is,
I get
this
it.
Is new. Like, what he's doing is
he
new
hasn't
without
had
Tatum.
This many
yeah.
games without him.
Right. I just don't think, I think the important thing is that he's always known he was capable of this. Like, to him, nothing changes because he's known he can do this. Externally, yes, people are looking at it that way, but he doesn't feel, I don't think he feels any different than he did last year. Like, he's
yeah.
just always viewed himself as this type of player. Just because he's putting it up now, he's proving it to other people, but he didn't have to prove it to himself.
Okay. Pure Hoops with Justin Turpin every Wednesday at high noon. You can give him a follow at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. We call him Turp. Turp. Excellent stuff, as always. We'll talk to you next week. We'll get the latest here from Billy Lanny in Trending, and we'll reset a little bit of the tail of the tape. We're getting a lot of feedback on this, Keith.
Positive?
Turp, great job putting that graphic together,
oh,
by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
Is it all
we're
positive?
We're going to be hard back there today with graphics.
Seriously. There's some positive ones mixed
well,
in
good.
There.
Let's read those.
So we'll revisit who has the edge in Patriots and Chargers again. This is in the Batman a lot?
Several times, yeah. Cut to Batman standing in Gotham City
and
the
it's
pouring rain. Pouring rain.
Over and over again?
I like the movie. I like the song, but man, it is a downer. It is a downtime.
Yeah, it's not getting me hyped for Pats and Chargers. I'll tell you that right now.
No, it's not. No. We need something else that's going to get us going a little bit.
Okay, so we have, Keith, the tail of the tape. We did this earlier today.
This is a good exercise, something that needed to be done.
I think so, too. And if no one else is going to do this undertaking, we're gonna do it.
We're the right men for the job.
So, look, we went through your traditional, I would say, tail of the tape categories, your quarterback.
Yeah.
Running back, wide receiver.
Yeah, positions.
Yeah, all of them.
Right.
We added head coach,
yep.
Which we're getting some pushback on that.
Sure.
And then, of course, because we're Jones and Keefe,
yep.
We added uniforms, celebrity fans, which I know you have more on.
Yeah, I do.
And mascots. So when we went through all 15 categories, we gave the Patriots 9 check marks. We gave the Chargers just 6. If you want to keep it to football only, positional groups, it would be 6-5 in favor of the Pats. If you add head coach, it would be 7-5. So even you football heads out there would be advantage Patriots. But when we add in some of these other categories, 9-6 is the official Jones and Keefe tail of the tape. Do with that what you will.
Sure.
But it sounds like the Pats are winning on Sunday night in Foxborough.
I think it is pretty instructive. Although there is a case to be made for Jim Harbaugh.
Yes.
We both like Mike Vrabel more. Maybe that's a bit of a homer take.
So the two categories we got the most pushback on were head coach. People are like, how are you picking Vrabel over Harbaugh? And again, it's not just a lifetime achievement thing. Like, I mean, Harbaugh is a good coach, but I think Vrabel's a good coach as well.
Celebrity fan? People were confused about
it? No. Yeah. And Harbaugh went to a Super Bowl a decade plus ago. He didn't win it, by the way.
No.
But at least he's been to one, which Vrabel hasn't. I get it. I'll take Vrabel over Harbaugh. That's my stance on it, but we got pushback there. The other one we got pushback on is D-line giving the advantage to the Patriots. Now, this is important because the Chargers have a great pass rush.
Yeah.
D-line really is, for all intents and purposes, interior defensive linemen. Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, those guys.
Not the full.
And then we gave the Chargers the rest of it. The edge rushers and the linebackers, we gave the Chargers the edge there. But those are the two categories we got the most pushback on,
yeah,
I would say.
I would agree. I think most people it's unanimous on the quarterback, even though Drake May hasn't played in the playoffs yet. We have seen Justin Herbert in the playoffs, and it has not been good for him, 0-2.
And so, like, May gets the check mark. It's very possible Herbert outplays May on Sunday. I could see that happening.
You know,
but
another one
going into the game, I want May.
The other one, which I thought was razor thin, was actually wide receiver. And you made a good point that if Mac Hollins was healthy, maybe you could make the case for the Patriots. They had the only 1,000-yard receiver between the two teams.
Mm-hmm. No, the Patriots, you could say, I'm not sure I agree with it, but you could say the guy who had the best year.
Yeah.
Is Steph Diggs at wide receiver. Now I got to pick one. Who would I want? I'd want McConkey.
Well, I think for Sunday, you're like, hey, you only have to worry about one game. I'd take Diggs. For right now, one game, I'd take Diggs. If you're talking about, you know, a season, obviously I'd go with McConkey and all that stuff. But Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen, all were like a 700-yard receiver. So they're all like productive, but it was like they all... You know, Keenan Allen used to be a one.
But this is the whole room. This isn't one. So now you have 3 of those guys.
Right.
And the Patriots have just Diggs.
Yeah.
And Hollins is hurt.
Right. Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty. Kayshon Booty, if you took him from like the first half of the season, you might say, okay, maybe Booty and Johnston might have been a wash.
Yeah.
Honestly, the way Booty was catching some of those deep balls and everything else. But now, we both ultimately agreed it was the Chargers, but I saw some people responding with Steph Diggs. We're saying, well, it's more than just the one guy. You got to go 3 or 4 deep. And after that, it is an advantage for them, but we gave the running back and the tight end advantage to the Patriots. So the whole offense clearly advantage Patriots. I think the defense is where it's a little closer.
Well, it makes sense. We said this yesterday. I like on that side of the ball, Patriots offense versus Chargers defense. As good as the Chargers defense is, I like the Patriots offense in that matchup.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're measuring offense versus offense, the Patriots clearly have the better offense. The Chargers are banged up. I mean, if they're fully healthy, they might be different. Yeah. But they're not.
Which quarterback do you think will be sacked more on Sunday?
Well, Herbert was sacked more this year.
Yeah.
But then May's going against that pass rush. Probably May.
Yeah, it could be a wash. I think if it's tied, advantage Patriots. Right? Like you'd say, all right, you'll almost take that trade-off.
Right. If it's 5-1 and May's getting sacked, 5, that's no good. But if it's 3 or 4 each, that probably is advantage Patriots. All right. You dug up something interesting on celebrity fans, though.
Yeah, so there was somebody...
Because we did, this is important, we did give the check mark to the Patriots. Yeah. I had interpreted this as like the guy who paints his face silver.
See, I don't consider them celebrities.
Versus the lady they put up on it's a celebrity fan.
Yeah, but I think it's a fan. So what would be like a Mark Wahlberg? A fan who is a celebrity or a celebrity fan?
So that's how you interpret it, which is what we ended up going with. So we went with the Patriots celebrity fans. Yes.
So I found a great graphic on Reddit that has, they each team got one.
Okay.
This person did the homework, and they assigned one celebrity, like a real celebrity, not a, you know.
Not the Silver Bullet. Not Aztec Gino.
Not Aztec Gino.
Balcony Gino.
Not, what's the idiot with the Jets? Not Fireman Ed.
Right.
None of those guys.
Right.
So in this matchup, they say the Chargers have Mario Lopez.
Okay.
AC Slater.
Yeah.
Good one.
He's a big Chargers fan?
That's what it says here.
Okay.
Patriots, I don't like this one. John Bon Jovi.
Oh.
They went with John Bon Jovi on that one.
No.
What other teams are you interested in? I have all here.
Well, that, we're going with that. You have to go Mario Lopez. Well,
in
what else,
that case.
I haven't seen the list. What else jumps out to you?
The Baltimore Ravens have Stacy Keibler. That jumps out to me.
Nice.
The Buffalo, the Buffalo, all right, the Buffalo Bills have Chad Michael Murray, I believe from One Tree Hill fame.
Okay, I didn't. Yeah. It's the name sounds familiar, yeah. But I couldn't pinpoint who that is. Okay.
The Pittsburgh Steelers,
yeah,
Brett Michaels,
nice.
Yeah, every rose has its thorn.
Wait, Haley Steinfeld isn't the Bills fan?
No, it's Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah, but that seems.
I think she's more of a Josh Allen fan.
Okay, that's fair.
Like it could have been Cardi B, but I don't think it's.
Oh, good point. Oh, we didn't even factor that in when we were talking about celebrity fans earlier.
Did you see the latest
celebrity fan slash? Oh, we should have done Wags. That should have been our
Wags.
Wags.
Oh no, Herbert's with Madison Beer.
Oh,
they lose that one. Madison Beer.
Good point.
Did you see the latest TMZ video involving Cardi B
and Michael May? I'm sorry. Did I see the latest TMZ video involving Cardi B? I don't think so.
No.
Why,
Nick? Did you see it?
Why?
Was it her walking around like a red carpet?
No, it's her teaching men how to eat a banana.
Yep.
Okay. For real.
I did not see it, no.
Okay, it's on there.
I don't need help. I know how to do that. I've been doing it for years.
Anyway. That- I'm surprised you're not a Houston Texans
Sick
fan,
Jones.
Why, who's that?
Their celebrity, their number one celebrity fan, Dennis Quaid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I'm a Randy Quaid
oh,
guy.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're a Randy Quaid.
I'm not a Dennis Quaid guy. Randy Quaid. Number two American.
That's true.
When we did that list earlier.
San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
Jeremy Renner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Eagles is an easy one because they play that commercial over and over and over and over.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
Makes sense.
Minnesota Vikings. You're probably wondering, who's a Vikings celebrity fan?
Prince, looking down from the sky.
No, Josh Duhamel.
Oh.
Yeah, Fergie's ex-husband, I think. Rams.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston.
Oh.
Yeah, not
bad. How about that? That was pretty good.
With the Raiders' number one celebrity fan.
Hang on.
You might.
Ice Cube.
No, it's Guy Fieri.
Oh.
It's Guy Fieri.
He's their biggest fan.
That's what it says
here.
This is
the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, Vegas,
yeah, not
Raiders,
Oakland. Vegas, that's true. That wouldn't be as
Denver
answer.
Broncos, number one seed in the AFC.
Yep. Hang on. Wait.
Their celebrity fan would be.
Just I'm right about there. Who?
Amy Adams.
Oh.
The actress Amy Adams.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not loving this list. I guess.
No, it's poor.
Let's go to our pal Chuck in New Hampshire. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, boys. Happy New Year. Missed hearing you guys the past couple weeks, but hope you guys had a great time off.
Sure did. We're back.
All right. Sounds good. So, yeah, just a couple of things here. First, Mario Lopez as the celebrity fan. That's a tough one to compete against. I think we really got to figure out who Screech really likes, though. I know he's rooting from the sky now.
He is rooting from the sky. He's for sure rooting from the sky.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's in the classroom in the sky now, the Maxi Mart or whatever it is.
Max.
And, yeah, so when it comes to Patriots Chargers, I was kind of just wondering what you guys thought when it comes to, you know, when you look at each secondary versus each receiving core, who do you think has the better shot at locking down, you know, the other's receiving core? And then same with the offensive line and defensive lines. I know that the Chargers obviously have a lot of sacks, but on their offensive line, you know, they're depleted. So, I'm curious to see how exactly those two matchups.
Yeah, so I do think the Patriots do not have a great pass rush, but the Chargers' O-line is so bad, I think that's a slight Patriots advantage.
Yeah.
The secondary one is more interesting because I don't love the Chargers' corners.
No, that's why I think Diggs could have a good game. I could see Derwin James kind of slowing down like a Hunter Henry or anything like that over the middle. So James is individually a great player. I think the Patriots' secondary, I'm curious how they're going to do it because Herbert spreads the ball around to those three receivers.
And isn't Herbert, whoever's not on Gonzo, Herbert's going to go to, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
I would think.
They're going to pick on Marcus Jones. Labakonki's not a big receiver. I take that back.
No.
But, you
know, be a good matchup.
Allen and Johnston, but if they're moving those guys around the formation, you can dictate matchups. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Johnston and Keenan Allen, if you get either of those guys on Marcus Jones, they're way too big for him, especially Johnston.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're going to go to that Carlton Davis matchup a lot. So I actually feel like the Patriots, even though they have better personnel at corner,
yeah,
can be a little exploited if Herbert steers away from Gonzo and just attacks the other matchup.
And I actually like the Patriots' defensive front against the Chargers because they're down their two best tackles. And then also I heard the guys this morning talking a lot about the difference between, you know, regular season football and playoff football. Ninkovich and Wiggy were talking about that. Like, that's another thing that Milton Williams has going for you. Like, he's just fresh off a Super Bowl. So yep, he just played some monster games, and he was good in those games. So I think he's individually is a huge advantage.
Yeah, and Milton Williams looked awesome. ready to go last week.
So we saw that. There's really no question about that.
Yeah, right. Maybe Landry will come back, and he'll be fresh because he's taken a couple of weeks off. Maybe. That one's a question mark. Milton Williams looked great when he was back last week. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll circle back to the big story that came out last night. John Harbaugh fired in Baltimore. That's next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. I was Ian Rappaport on Jim Harbaugh fired as head coach of the Baltimore Ravens after 18 years. It is very interesting, and I wouldn't say it was totally off the radar. Again, it was something we touched on briefly yesterday, that there's friction between Harbaugh and Lamar, and one could go. And you said, Keith, well, they're not going to move on from Lamar.
Don't think they're moving on from Lamar, and they are not.
It turns out that's a big reason for the exit, the friction, as you hear there, from Rap Sheet between the two. Look, I think he's going to get another job quickly. I think he has a good chance to be Vrabel-esque in his next destination, wherever that is, take over a bad team and turn them around. Because I think he's going to be highly sought after, and I imagine he's going to be picky in where he winds up going. And assuming he makes the right pick and attaches himself to the right quarterback in the right situation, I think he can turn things around pretty quickly. Like, for instance, the Giants.
Yeah.
I think would be good ownership, or, you know, stable ownership anyways. You have a good young quarterback there. I imagine if anybody's going to coach some of the wildness out of Jackson Dart, which he needs coached out of him, he's the kind of coach with the kind of cachet who could go in there and do it. I think that'd be a good fit, but maybe he favors Brady and the Raiders and the number one pick. That would not be my advice. Those, to me, would be the top two jobs outside of Baltimore, where he's obviously not going back to. It's an interesting domino in the coaching carousel.
Oh, big time, because he immediately becomes the number one target for all these teams, and not just these teams. Teams that have coaches, teams that are playing this weekend that might lose and say, we're getting rid of our guy, would we be better off with Harbaugh? Or a few teams that to this point still haven't fired their coach because they're like, we don't hate this guy, but we do like Harbaugh more. So I think he has even more opportunities than are even laid out there for you right now. Or you mentioned
who would be at the top of that heap?
Like
if you're Harbaugh and you're being real picky and choosy, not just the jobs that are vacant.
Buffalo, Philadelphia. You know, teams that I stupidly a couple years ago thought for Belichick.
So Philly's a great one because we got that on the text line. We were talking about this earlier. Philly's a great one if they fired Sirianni.
If they do, jump in on that.
And he,
I don't think Tampa Bay's a bad one.
He worked in Philly, so
He was in Philly for a while.
I don't know what kind of relationship he has with Jeff Lurie.
Not sure.
But he was in Philly under Andy Reid. So Philly would be a good one. Obviously, you could go from Lamar Jackson to Josh Allen. That's a pretty good one. Tampa might open?
Maybe. I mean, for Harbaugh, like that's a good example of a team that wasn't open, but now maybe it is.
They weren't going to fire Bowles, which they probably should, but they weren't going to, and now they're like, oh, wait a minute, Harbaugh, let's fire him.
Yeah, you don't fire Bowles and bring in, you know, Steve Spagnuolo or like one of these other guys that has had a shot at it and wasn't great as a head coach. Maybe you go and you get John Harbaugh. So, yeah, like that part of it is pretty fascinating to me. You asked, you know, could he have a Mike Vrabel-like impact? Remember, Mike Vrabel didn't take He didn't work for a whole year.
Correct.
So if there's not a job out there that Harbaugh thinks is the right job, maybe you wait. So if Vrabel, let's say he grabbed a job with like the Jets, how long was that going to last?
Right.
But you go and you coach Drake May, and now all of a sudden you're in the playoffs. So if there's not a good quarterback.
Vrabel interviewed for that Chargers job, and Jim Harbaugh got it.
Yep.
So that would have been right away.
But that also wouldn't have been a bad one because you have Herbert. And like you could have won a lot of games.
That would have been a good job. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't get it. So he said, all right, fine, I didn't go with Herbert. I'm going to wait.
But if you're Harbaugh,
right. And he got with Drake May.
If you're Harbaugh and one of these playoff teams doesn't open up and you think, all right, do I really like Mendoza from Indiana and how long is that going to take with the Raiders? Or how much does he like Jackson Dart? Does he feel like he can win? Does he feel like Dart's going to be healthy all the time and he can win with him? Because if he doesn't, you know, I'm sure part of these guys want to just coach immediately the next year. But like sitting out for a full year seemed to be a real benefit to Vrabel.
Well, that's a good point. And then you think of some guys. I mean, Chip Kelly got fired, immediately took a job, mistake.
Yeah, not good.
Mangini, I mean, we're going back years now. Mangini got fired, took a job, mistake.
Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Although that was a mistake to hire him.
Right. So, like, and maybe those guys just aren't good coaches. Harbaugh
is
obviously
Ryan,
a good coach.
Right? Rex Ryan.
Yeah,
did he go
right to Buffalo?
Jets,
I think you're right.
Bills, I think
you're right. So, yeah, maybe there's a benefit to waiting. I oddly think, like a year ago, there were a lot of good candidates and only a couple of good jobs. This year, I think there's some good jobs and not a lot of good candidates. So
you see some
I think
people,
this might be a year for Harbaugh to just jump right back in.
Yeah, you're
or maybe
right.
That's not the case every year.
Yeah, Harbaugh and maybe Stefanski, two guys that just got fired, I think are two of the better candidates. We both like Flores, too.
Flores is a good candidate.
So there's three.
I kind of forgot about Spagnuolo. You brought him up. I think that's an interesting candidate.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, Cliff Kingsbury, who I really like as an offensive coordinator, is probably going to get – I would not want him as my head coach.
I wouldn't either.
But I think that would be good for a guy like Harbaugh.
He's a name that's getting linked to replace Harbaugh in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's dumb.
I wouldn't want that.
But they should pair him up with, like, a defensive guy. Like, if Flores and Kingsbury – I know people are talking about Flores and Daboll, also a good combination. But if Flores and Kingsbury showed up to your team, I think you'd immediately improve both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some interesting names that are out there, but it's also – like some retreads.
How much more pressure does this... Lamar has to be behind this on some level.
Oh, yeah.
So how much more pressure does this put on Lamar?
A ton. I think there already was a lot on him, right? And I think there's a lot on all those AFC quarterbacks outside of Mahomes. So it's like, all right, you're an MVP. That's great. But like, are you going to get to a Super Bowl, let alone win one?
Right. Like Allen, at least while McDermott's there, still kind of has a shield. Because like when we talked to our guy, Sal Capaccio, he's like, everybody hates McDermott here.
Right.
That's a good shield for Allen. The second Allen says, I'm not going to play for this guy anymore, get me a new coach.
He's gone.
Well, but then the pressure really goes to Allen.
It ramps up.
And I think that's happening now with Lamar. You're right. There already was a lot of pressure. There already is a lot of pressure on Josh Allen. But it goes that much higher now that Harbaugh's out.
I also wonder where they go, because that really impacts the Patriots. And they don't play him on the schedule next year. They're going to play the Steelers because they get the number one team from that conference or division. But are the Ravens going to get a really good head coach and then immediately be back in there as a contender? Or is this going to knock them down for a little bit?
What kind of, even if you don't have a specific name, what's the profile of coach you would want in Baltimore?
Good question.
An established guy, like an offensive guy? Like what would you want?
Yeah, maybe Mike McCarthy.
Oh, interesting. So I'd want McCarthy if I was like a team. Like if I was
maybe not Mike McCarthy.
If I was the Giants and I couldn't get Harbaugh, I think Harbaugh's going to go to the Giants. That's where I would go. That's what I think he's going to do. If Buffalo opens or Green Bay opens or one of those jobs, then he should go there. But out of the current options, I think the Giants is the best option.
Do you want an offensive guy or a defensive guy? First of all, like give me a defensive guy and let Lamar figure out the offense, or
I think I would want an offensive guy now with Lamar and really just go all in on that. They haven't done it.
But maybe not McCarthy. I mean, McCarthy had success with Aaron Rodgers. That's not really Lamar's.
No. So now who is that? I don't know that I have a great answer for you.
Chip Kelly.
Yeah, so the odd thing is Harbaugh's shelf life might be done. If Lamar's done with him, then his shelf life is done. And this happens with good coaches. That doesn't make Harbaugh a bad coach. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But his shelf life might be over, and he's outlived his existence there in Baltimore. And the Ravens might be right about that part. But now you got to replace him, and there's like a real dearth of good options, I feel like. So I don't know the answer of who I'd hire, but I would try to lean offense. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a lot of great options there. Like if Kingsbury's the name being linked there, that's a massive downgrade, I feel like, which to your point, Keith, is good news for the Patriots.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Pats and Chargers this weekend as well. Plus, Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Patriots, going to speak to the media in Foxborough, a little over 10 minutes from now. Stay tuned. You'll miss none of it next on Jones.